Good morning, 741 here on the Mighty 690. And we are joined now by State Senator Virgil Peck, a legislative update for us. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, James. I'm doing just great. Great to be alive in Southeast Kansas this morning.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, and got to see the auction this past, just a little less than a week ago. You guys got some good stuff there at our KGGF auction.
That was my first opportunity, not first opportunity, I'd had a lot of opportunities. That was the first time I took the opportunity to attend the auction, and it was great. It was a lot of fun, had a lot of merchandise. Some things went for a bargain, a real bargain. Everything actually was a bargain, I guess you would say, because you stop at 80% of retail. But some things went for a better price than others. But it was just fun to see the people that were there, to be a part of an auction, and to see the merchandise. So it was a lot of fun. It was last Saturday at Walter Johnson. But, yeah, I just thought I'd mention that because it was my first time. Well, it was a lot of fun.
My first time, too. So, both of us
So, did you end up buying a lot of things, too?
Oh, yeah. I filled the Winnebago with stuff, yeah. Matt Jordan got 4 bags of dog food. He really likes dog food.
Okay. So, yeah. I was going to say, is he that hungry?
Yeah. You know, that was his lunch, you know. So.
Yeah, I actually had to leave early. I was eyeing some of the animal food over there. There was some cat food because I'm more of a cat man.
But
I had to leave early. Had another function that I had to go to. But it was great. So I'd encourage listeners next year, probably KGGF will do it again.
Yeah, and we have one down in our sister stations in Oklahoma here, so you might have to make that one. I think it's in Dewey coming up here a month or two. So
okay.
That'll be a good
probably
one.
Probably the same type of deal.
Yep.
I know I saw the Potters there as well.
They mastermind it. So, good stuff. And you were also at Business Over Breakfast, right?
I was. I enjoy going to Business Over Breakfast here in Coffeyville. It's put on by the Coffeyville Chamber. Candy Westbrook does a great job of bringing in a few local individuals to speak, and sometimes not so local, just to talk about things that affect us locally. And there were some great information this week I thought was just outstanding. We had the Recreation Commission there, but Rick Whitson was there, the County Emergency Preparedness Director. And by the way, Rick, it's going to be on, as you'd mentioned.
Yeah, here at about 8:40.
Okay, so everybody can listen in to Rick. But Rick gave an update. We all remember that have been around for a little while, 2007 flood. And Rick has gone back, he wasn't here at that time, and looked at a lot of historical information, and he presented that to the group. And he kept saying, well, there's so much information I could put you to sleep. Well, yep, maybe some people, but as an elected official, I'm used to receiving more information than I need. But it was really good, and I thought that it was beneficial and encouraging to know, okay, they have looked at it extensively, Rick has and his group. And I found it interesting that when they release water upriver, he knows how long it's going to take for the water to actually get down here into Montgomery County and into the Coffeyville area. Coffeyville area is the area that's most likely to have a real problem if there is a flood. And 2007, we had a major flood, and not even something most of us want to think about or talk about, but the east side really was devastated.
Oh, yeah.
Come back a lot since that time. But he also talked about the potential of doing some levee work, which I've been involved in some of those discussions. I'd like to see that happen. I know that he has been in contact with our federal delegation. So Business Over Breakfast was a great thing. So it's just been, for me, in less than a week, a lot of good things here in Coffeyville and in Montgomery County. And then tomorrow there's going to be things go on over in Altamont and other parts of the Senate district that I will have the opportunity to enjoy.
Excellent. No, it's really good. And yeah, looking forward to talking with Rick here about their program that they have coming up. So, but more at the state level, though, we do have a voucher program that I guess is not official, but kind of hoping the thought is that it will be at least.
Well, to me, it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, sounds like a duck, looks like a duck. And so to me, it is a duck. And what I mean by that, the governor, and then she got the state finance council to approve a program. And I'm going to call it a voucher program. Now, I realize, James, when I use the word voucher, some people, they immediately, their ears perk up because they like it. Other people, their ears perk up because they don't like it. But a voucher program is simply taxpayer dollars going to students of any school to help with educational expenses. Now, this program is administered through a contract with the Merit International, and it is federal money, but all money is taxpayer money. So it's taxpayer money, but Governor Kelly and the State Finance Council in January approved a program, and it's called Kansas Education Enrichment Program, KEEP for short, to where parents can use up to $1,000. They can receive a reimbursement up to $1,000 from the state through Merit International. If they originally had a federal their income was at the 185% of the federal poverty level, and this was approved in January. Applications started in February of this year, but this $1,000 can be used for tutoring. It can be used to purchase some band equipment, books or other school supplies, singing lessons, computers, tablets, trips or camps to, and that's what's happening more in the summer, a trip or a camp focus on learning. Now, there are some restrictions in this voucher program. You can't use it for private school tuition. Well, that's the current program, may or may not be in the future. You also cannot purchase a smartphone and be reimbursed, cannot go on a field trip, admissions to museums, theaters, season passes to various places, but something that is going to help to improve the education and or educational opportunities of students, if they're a private school student, if they're a homeschool student, or a public school student. And I call it a voucher program because, honestly, James, it is so similar to a voucher or an education savings account, which is a cousin to a voucher, that I found it interesting that Governor Kelly was the one who proposed this idea. But the reason I'm bringing this up now, earlier this week, the governor announced that apparently we haven't had the utilization of this program like she had anticipated. So the income level has been increased to 300% of the federal poverty level. Well, I didn't know what 300% of the federal poverty level was, James, and you probably do.
I have no idea.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay. And here in Southeast Kansas, that's going to include most of us. 300% of the federal poverty level for three persons is officially $74,580, so in round numbers, $75,000. So for a family of three that wants to use some money and receive a reimbursement from the state, again, taxpayer money, if they're at $75,000, for a family of four, which is what we always look at, it seems like a family of four, it's $90,000 would qualify, and then one step up. So basically, it's $15,000 for each additional person, because the next level is $105,000 for a family of five. And I visited with a young mother who homeschools her children, and she had qualified at the 185% of federal poverty level. She said she had purchased some computer things for her children for learning and had received a reimbursement from this program. And so, again, I'm going to call it a voucher program because it's so similar to a voucher program. Officially, it's not, but I kind of like the idea of helping students, no matter where they're going to school, with their education. And if we can do some things to improve the educational opportunity for our students, we need to do that. Reason is, there was a new publication that was just put out, James, and it's heartbreaking, frustrating as well. And it's not meant as a put down on education. Sometimes when you talk about the low results that we're receiving from education, educators take it as an offense or an affront. Well, that's not what it's intended to be. It's strictly a grade. But it was really frustrating when I realized, according to the information from the Kansas Department of Education, that in math, the state assessment results for math for 10th graders, and 10th grade seems to be an area that we test and look at, because if they're not making the standard, which is on track to be college and career ready, they still got a couple years that we can bump it up. But only 28% of non-low income students are college and career ready in math. Your low income students, it's really sad, 9%. And now in English language arts, it's a little better. Low-income students that are college and career ready are 14%. The non-low-income, I'm not sure exactly what that level would be, is 32%. But when we'll just make it simple, 1 in 3 for easy figuring, of our students at the 10th grade level are college and career ready according to state assessment results. So my point in this discussion is the legislature has had extensive discussions, and we have even done some things or tried to do some things that would help some students. We passed Senate Bill 113, which was the mega education finance bill. As a part of that, we expanded the state tax credit scholarship program to include individuals with incomes up to 250%. So this is a separate program from the first voucher program that I had talked about. And it's a voucher because you keep track of your expenses, you apply to the states, and you're reimbursed. So you don't actually get a voucher in the mail to return, but again, that's what I'm going to call it. But we expanded the state's tax credit scholarship program. Not only did we expand the eligibility, but we also made it so if a school that we changed the definition of a qualified school. Previously, a non-public school had to be accredited. And a lot of our private schools have received accreditation. But if there is a non-public school that's working toward accreditation, and there's documentation, of course, that they're working toward that, they would qualify to receive, their students could receive these funds to help pay with tuition to private and religious schools. And the tax credit, which this is taxpayer money, but it's only voluntary. So if a person decides or a business decides they want to contribute to this fund, they can receive a tax credit of 75%. It was 70%. We bumped that up to 75%. Trying to expand the program. Again, the whole thing in a nutshell for this discussion, James, is about improving educational opportunities for Kansas children. We've got some great public schools. We've got some students doing well, have excelled. But a one-size-fits-all is not for everyone. And so if we can do some things that will help education, because education is important for all of us long-term, even though I've graduated school a long time ago, you have as well, probably.
So what has to happen for this to become the program put in place?
For which one are you talking
about? Yeah, well, so for Kelly's plan right now, because that's already, from what it sounds like, that's closer to, are we at the point where we've got a couple different plans and we still have to kind of decide which one's going to go through?
Well, they've both gone through.
Okay.
They have both been implemented. Mm-hmm. They, I think, should be meshed together.
Together, okay.
The Governor Kelly's plan, which it's limited. It's $50 million, so it will eventually run out of money.
Sure, okay.
Unless the state appropriates. If this is successful, honestly, James, I think the state will appropriate. But both programs are in place, so a person could actually tap into both if they wanted to. But the main one, the simplest one, is the first one I mentioned, mm-hmm. and that's the $1,000, because you can purchase so many things that will help your child with education and receive reimbursement of taxpayer dollars.
And to reiterate, this isn't like they're just not just sending you a check. You have to submit these items because, like you said, there's this narrow scope of, narrow-ish scope of what is acceptable.
And if a person does a search on the Kansas Education Enrichment Program, KEEP program, they will find links and so forth. They do have to provide documentation as relates to income, and they do have to provide documentation as relates to the expenses, a receipt. But it's working great for the families that I have talked to.
Gotcha.
So both of these programs, again, hopefully will improve educational opportunities in Kansas.
Okay. Well, also talking about some interim committees that are at hand here.
Yep. Last time I was in, I just mentioned that the interim committees were being looked at and determined. Well, they were determined on Monday.
Okay.
We've got 13 interim special committees. And it was interesting to me, James, when I saw some of the names. We've got an interim committee on homelessness. We've got an interim committee on restricted driving privileges. I'm not sure what either one of those entail. However, we've got one that is brand new. It is a special committee on foreign adversary investments and land purchases. The reason I bring this one up is I was appointed to this committee. I was also appointed to the special Committee on Taxation, and I'm a member of the Joint Committee on Kansas Security, which is like the Intelligence Committee. But the Special Committee on Foreign Adversary Investments and Land Purchases, I'm confident I was put on that committee because I had asked for introduction of Senate Bill 100. It's a straightforward two-page bill, simple as it can be. And what that bill said was foreigners cannot purchase land in the state of Kansas unless they're purchasing land in Johnson, Sedgwick, Shawnee, or Wyandotte County. So the other 101 counties in the state of Kansas, more and more states are realizing that China and other countries that are not friends of the United States are purchasing agricultural land, rural land, taking it out of production, which means less food production, or they're also purchasing land that is near to our military bases. So I'm anxious to get involved, and I think we've got 3 days on this committee to find out how can we dig into this. And the bill I introduced, James, is actually pretty restrictive. Well, yeah, I wanted it real restrictive, but it wasn't going to fly. So we're going to have a special committee, not only on that, but we're going to look at the whole topic and figure out how can we protect Kansas land and Kansas citizens from being taken
so
over.
So real quick, as we wrap up here, I did want to ask you, kind of playing devil's advocate, if you will, what if a maybe someone is at K-State, for instance, in Raleigh County, maybe they're on a you know, green card or whatever to be your visa, whatnot, and you know, they're studying at the university, perhaps they want to buy a house because they're going to be here for 6 years or something like that. So would that not allow that sort of thing? Because technically that might be land, even though it's just, you know, a residential property or something.
The way that I had the bill written was rural land.
Okay.
So it had to be outside of city limits. So in your particular case, you're being the devil here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that should not affect. And that was some of the problem. That was some of the discussion, because it was really narrowly drawn, intentionally. I would rather have it narrowly drawn than too, and then the legislature expand it, than too loosely drawn and then it expanded.
Sure.
So we shall see. And that was some of the discussion about foreigners. And not all foreigners are bad people. My son-in-law is a foreigner. He's going to be here later this month. But he, if this was to be the case, his name could not be on a deed in the state of Kansas in these particular counties.
All right.
We'll talk about this more when we get into the committees.
Excellent. I do appreciate it. State Senator Virgil Peck, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. We'll see you next time.
All right. And we'll be back with our Ask the Expert segment. Charles Kane coming up here on the Mighty 690, 70 degrees right now in Coffeyville.